Good morning. Please remain seated as we join together in our hymn of preparation as printed in your bulletins. Good morning and welcome to Main Street United Methodist Church this morning. You all look well rested after an extra hour's sleep last night. We want to welcome all of you and want to extend a very special welcome to those that are visiting with us this morning. We want you to know that you are always welcome here, and we want you to feel that you're always welcome here. If you are a visitor looking for a church home, we ask that you please consider Main Street as a possibility for that home. And if you would give us your address and phone number as the attendance pads are passed down the pew, we can have someone contact you and let you know what's going on in the life of our church. And at this time, I would ask that you pass the attendance pads down the pew, and members and visitors alike, please register your attendance. We've got a lot going on in the life of the church this week. A reminder that this afternoon, beginning at 5 o'clock, is our fall festival. Kids will come dressed in costume, and adults, if you want, you can come dressed in costume also. Have games and hay rides and plenty of fun, so please make plans to be there for the fall festival this afternoon at 5 o'clock. And then this Saturday, from 10 o'clock until 1 o'clock in the Fellowship Hall, we will be having what we hope to be our annual Fall Craft and Handiwork Bazaar. This will be a perfect opportunity for you to get an early start on Christmas shopping, buy gifts from some of our handicraft people and baked goods from some of our members. So please make plans to be present Saturday, 10 to 1, for our Fall Craft and Handiwork Bazaar. We are also in need of volunteers to do children's time during the 11 o'clock service, so if you have a special story you would like to tell to the children during that service, please contact Kathy Kelly and let her know that. She's looking for volunteers to do the children's time during the 11 o'clock service. Our Wednesday night gathering series continues this week, meal at 5:15 and the program beginning at 6:15. The meal this week will be grilled chicken breast, brown rice, fried okra, rolls, and dessert, and it will be prepared by the Drake class. The program this week will, again, you'll have two options. Reverend Dennis will be leading a Bible study discussing dreams and visions in the Bible, and Jim and Kathy Kelly will be leading a new program that starts this week, which is Bible-based exploration of marriage and commitment. So please plan to attend the gathering. If you are going to attend the gathering, please make reservations using the yellow cards in the pew or by calling the church office. Again, since this is it is important that we know the number of people that will be there. If you have standing reservations and for some reason will not be able to attend this Wednesday, please call the church office and let them know that. And finally, a reminder that tomorrow night is our charge conference. It will be at 7 o'clock p.m. here in the sanctuary. Everyone is invited to attend. Members of the Board of Stewards are encouraged to attend since there will be issues that you will need to vote on at that charge conference. Now let us prepare our hearts for worship.
Thank you. Please stand for the call to worship. O come, let us magnify the Lord, that the afflicted might hear and be glad. Let our souls boast in the Lord, that the lame might leap for joy. Let our tongues proclaim the glory of the Lord, and see that the Lord is good. Be seated. You join me in the invocation, please. O God, you know our weaknesses. Have compassion on us. Send your Spirit to heal us and to prepare the way for our return. Lead us beside still waters. Restore our souls, and your praise shall always be on our lips, and we shall exalt your name together. Amen.
I'd like to call to the microphone Dr. Steve Skinner, who is also the chair of our stewardship committee. He'll share a few words with us today. Steve.
If you would, turn in your Bibles, your pew Bibles, to page 246 in the New Testament, Paul's letter to the Colossians. Chapters 3, verses 12 through 17. And I'll refer to these throughout my talks this morning. It's Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 through 17. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, Clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other, just as the Lord has forgiven you. So you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in the one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom. And with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. These scripture verses don't show up when you look up stewardship, but I thought they applied to what I believe stewardship is. Stewardship, I think, is a way of life. It's a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle based on our relationships, our relationship with God, and our relationship with each other. And as we grow in our relationships with God, our relationships with each other grow. And as we grow in a life of service and a love of others, our relationship with God grows. So this spiritual growth process is exemplified as a life of good and faithful stewardship. So what does our scripture reading that we just read tell us about a lifestyle of stewardship? First, we are told to clothe ourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. These are the attitudes that are to be seen in our relationships with others. Next, we are told to forgive one another. Why? Because we have been forgiven. And then we are told that love is a virtue that binds all these other virtues into harmony. Harmony with one another and harmony with God. And then in verse 15, we are told to let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts. This is our relationship with God. And in verse 15, we are told to be thankful. In verse 16, we are told to let the words of Christ dwell in us. Again, our relationship with God. Also in verse 16, we are told to teach one another. Again, our relationship with each other. And we are to sing with gratitude to God. And finally, in verse 17, whatever we do, whether in word or deed, we are to do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So this is a lifestyle of stewardship to which we have been called to live, that whatever we say or do, it is in the name of Jesus. So where does the financial aspect of stewardship fit into this? First, it becomes a spontaneous part of our relationship to others. Our giving is done out of love and service to others. And more importantly, our giving is done out of joy and thanksgiving because of our relationship with God. So as we grow in our lifestyle of stewardship, our financial stewardship grows as a natural outpouring of that lifestyle. Our role as a church is to help each of us to grow in our relationships with God and to grow in our relationship with each other. And our financial stewardship makes sure that the programs and ministries and opportunities to minister are here to nurture and foster that growth of each of us spiritually. So on November 19th, three Sundays from today, we will all be given the opportunity to come forward to the altar and to once again make a commitment to live a lifestyle of stewardship. Thank you.
As we approach our prayer time, I want to call to your attention those concerns we have listed in the bulletin. And first in our minds today is the family of Caroline Whitener, who passed away, and we will have her service here in the sanctuary at 2 o'clock. But as we continue our concern list, Thomas Wilson has a very bad case of mono and is at home. Ruth Medley has a long recovery ahead from her broken leg. Ryan McDaniel, we have heard, had a successful brain surgery, but still a long recovery and more tests ahead. Francis Daniel, Jackie Daniel, Layton, and David and Sarah Stewart, Joyce Bartless, Phyllis and Philip Legg. Candace Peppers will be going to Florida to the Mayo Clinic for some tests on her heart. Vera Tharp, R.J. Fife, Scurry Tharp, Lieutenant Brad Deloach, Ted Pearson, Vicki Weed, Reverend William F. Rogers, Kyle Bennett, Ray Ballantyne, Jason's father, Will Jowers, and Bette McCord Bly. I want to add to the list Karen Dent, who will have some surgery in the morning. I also want to add to the list John Tidwell. Most of you know John. If you don't know him by name, he usually sits right back there next to the door. And John was attacked violently by a gang of people. I don't know how many or why or where exactly, but he is in intensive care, ICU 8. And apparently they did try to kill him. He was very badly choked, badly bruised, and has a respirator because his throat was so swollen. They're worried about it closing off his airway. I want to be in prayer for John, and in prayer also to change the hearts of those who did this violent thing to such a gentle and harmless man. And as I mentioned this morning, if anybody knows how to set up a reward fund to bring about the justice in this matter, I would recommend that one of us who knows how to do that, please do it. I think it would be appropriate that we as church support him and support bringing to justice those who attacked him. But we should also pray for their hearts, that they change and have remorse and regret for this senseless, violent act. Let us go together to God in prayer. Holy Father, living Lord, guiding Spirit, into your hands we commit our souls, our lives, our very beings. Into your care we give our spirits. Into your trust we give our bodies. Into your love we give our all. Truly, we seek to be good stewards of your many gifts and of the truth and the amazing grace of your gospel. God of mercy, we have heard the prayers spoken by friends and family this morning and the concerns we've listed in the bulletin and named today. For our friends who are sick, we pray your healing. For families who are depressed, are grieving, are lonely, we pray your comfort. For our co-workers and friends and neighbors who are straining to find their way in the world, we pray your guidance and your direction. For ourselves, we ask forgiveness and a vision of your path as we make our way through this world. God of hope, we bring the prayer requests that are upon our hearts, concerns too painful to even whisper, and we pray your peace. Hurts so deeply ingrained, we ask your presence. And even joys that embarrass us, we ask your blessing. But along with our personal prayers, God of creation, we pray for your Spirit to be poured out on the people of this church, of this land, of this world. We pray for those who seek food and water and shelter. We pray for those caught up in war. We pray for your peace and your justice. We pray for those who are too deep in crime and violence to see a way out. We pray for those who wish to love and forgive and breathe easy once again, but are weighed down by old bitterness and disconnecting despair. May the same Spirit not only help us endure, but nudge us to do something for the others in need in our midst. Now, Lord, we do lift up the prayers of our hearts, knowing that you hear, knowing that you can work together for the good in the lives of your children. Hear the silent prayers of our hearts, we pray. Lord, hear our prayers, for we pray in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we pray as he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Today I'd like to invite the children down front for a special time with Patty Nichols.
As the children come down, we ask that they bring their collection so that as the preschoolers leave, if they're not in here, when we take up the offering, they have a chance to participate in stewardship.
Good morning. This morning I have my sweet Jackson helping me. Does anybody know what he's holding?
Jack-o'-lantern.
A jack-o'-lantern. Say it, Griffin.
Jack-o'-lantern.
That's right. And this morning I'm going to teach you what we can do to glorify God through jack-o'-lanterns. I'm going to read a jack-o'-lantern poem. It goes, I am a jack-o'-lantern. My lights will shine so bright. For I'm a Christian pumpkin. My symbols tell what's right. My nose is like the cross on which the Savior died. To set us free from sin, we need no longer hide. My mouth is like a fish, the whole wide world to show that Christians live in this house and love their Savior so. The story starts at Christmas. My eyes are like the star that shone on baby Jesus and wise men saw from far. My color, it is orange, just like the big bright sun that rose on Easter Day along with God's own Son.
And so on Halloween, let's set our pumpkins out and tell the trick-or-treaters what God's love is all about.
Now, Miss Patty wants you to remember this pumpkin and how bright it is, because when we're Christians and when we're full of the fruits of the Spirit, does anybody know what the fruits of the Spirit are? Does anybody know what one of the fruits of the spirits are? No? What's one, Kennedy?
Jack-o'-lanterns.
No, what?
I know, I said it yesterday. Patience.
Patience is a fruit of the spirit. What else?
I know.
Self-control.
Joy.
Joy.
What's one, baby?
Kindness.
Kindness. Anybody else know one?
I know.
Gentleness.
I know.
Love.
Love, and Jackson's reading them now, and peace. Anyway, if we're full of the fruits of the Spirit and show our Christianity to others, we'll be bright just like pumpkins. Now, Miss Patty's going to pray a pumpkin prayer, so let's bow our heads. Lord, open my mind so that I can learn new things about you. Remove the things in my life that don't please you. Forgive the wrong things I do and help me to forgive others. Open my eyes to see the beauty you've made in the world around me. I'm sorry for the times I've turned my nose at the good food you provide. Let everything I say please you. And Lord, help me show your light to others through the things I do. Amen.
God is glorified when his people dwell in unity. Let us pass the peace.
Old Testament reading this morning comes from the book of Job, the 42nd chapter, verses 1 through 6. You can find that printed on page 600, the Old Testament, in your pew Bibles if you would like to follow along. Then Job answered the Lord, "I know that you can do all things, and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. Who is this that hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Hear, and I will speak. I will question you, and you declare to me. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Therefore I despise myself, and repent in dust and ashes." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our epistle reading this morning comes from Hebrews, the 7th chapter, verses 23 through 28. And you can find that printed on page 269 of the New Testament in your pew Bibles. "Furthermore, the former priests were many in number, because they were prevented by death from continuing in office. But he holds his priesthood permanently, because he continues forever. Consequently, he is able for all time to save those who approach God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. For it was fitting that we should have such a high priest, holy, blameless, undefiled, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens. Unlike the other high priest, he has no need to offer sacrifices day after day, first for his own sins and then for those of the people. This he did once for all when he offered himself. For the law appoints as high priest those who are subject to weakness. But the word of the oath, which came later than the law, appoints a son who has been made perfect forever." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let us continue our worship now through the giving of our tithes, our offerings, our special gifts. Creator God, we know that the earth is yours and the fullness thereof. We thank you for, during our short lifetimes, entrusting unto us enough to meet our needs and to give to every good cause. We pray your blessings upon these tithes, these returns unto your church. Bless them to continue the ministry of your Son, Jesus Christ, and to build your kingdom. Amen. Our gospel reading is on page 57 in your pew Bibles, from the Gospel of Mark, the 10th chapter, beginning with verse 46. They came to Jericho. As he and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he cried out even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stood still and said, "Call him here." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." So throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "My teacher, let me see again." And Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately he regained his sight and followed him on the way. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us affirm our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Seated. Let us pray. Holy Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Now, this story does make me just a little bit nervous. I think it makes all of us upper middle class Methodists nervous because, you know, we would never, ever, ever yell out our prayers in public. We wouldn't do it. The ushers would escort you out of here so fast it'd make your head spin. But Bartimaeus would not be held back by decorum and manners. Now, speaking of appropriate behavior, it seems, now this is a joke, it seems there was an Episcopalian who died and went to heaven, and St. Peter was conducting him through purgatory where he saw some people who were just miserable. And he said, "What are those people doing here? What have they done to deserve this?" And St. Peter said, "Those are Jews who are guilty of eating ham." He went over and he found another group in worse shape. And Peter asked, what did these people do? And he said, "Well, now these were Catholic who should have eaten fish on Friday, but instead they ate ham." He found another group of people that was even worse off than the two before and more miserable. And he said, "Who are those people? What in the world have they done?" He said, Peter said, "These are Episcopalians. And they were caught eating ham with their salad fork." I know. It's bad. Bartimaeus cried out, not caring who told him to be quiet. Bad manners. The way I picture it, it was early morning, the air was still damp with dew, and the blind man had been waiting by the roadside since the night before. The word had come to his village that the healer would pass this way in the morning, and the hope for sight had never left him. And true, he had been blind for most all of his life, yet through all the sinews of his spirit, the simple trust persisted that someday, somehow, he would regain his sight at last. He hears the gathering footsteps coming his way. He tilts his head to hear just a little better how close they were and to judge the precise moment when he ought to make his move and be heard. All his life, he had waited for this precise moment. You know, some of us, and myself included, kick ourselves for a lifetime because we missed that moment. We look back on a moment that we should have acted and we did not. We were too timid, too unprepared, and we have missed some big moment where we should have spoken up. We should have done something, said something, but did not. Bartimaeus didn't miss his moment. He was ready. And when he was certain that it was the healer and that the healer was near enough to hear, he stood and he faced the footsteps. He sprang up and he began to cry for all he was worth, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Over and over he said it until the words became one with the walking rhythm of the approaching feet of Jesus and his disciples. "Son of David, Jesus, have mercy on me." For just a second, and I take a risk doing this because some of you may drop off to sleep, but close your eyes just for a second. Listen and imagine wanting and yearning and praying for healing of mind and body and soul. Imagine laying in wait through the night and into the morn and having the determination and the boldness and the reckless abandon beyond propriety, beyond manners. Imagine knowing what you know is broken inside of you. And knowing that Jesus the healer is coming within earshot of you, what do you do? Keep your eyes closed and imagine the moment. Imagine all the moments when you could have brought healing to another or begged out loud for healing for yourself. Imagine those times you have let those moments pass. When you said nothing until the footsteps became the pounding nails into a dead opportunity past and gone. Now imagine knowing what is broken within you, what is bound in regret, what is bitter, bringing death into every day of life. Imagine yourself bold with faith, grasping out and filling the air with your voice over and over, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Now open your eyes, and if you will, and if you're bold enough, say it or whisper it or pray it with me. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. When I imagine myself there, I can see Jesus stopping. I can see Jesus looking and paying attention to me off to the side of the road, maybe in the ditch. And you know, some part of me and some part of you is always broken and off to the side in the ditch. Jesus stops, Jesus looks, and Jesus listens. The crowd says, "Shh, be quiet. Be quiet, you blind beggar. This is an important man. Who do you think you are? Be quiet." But the trust and the faith that Bartimaeus has, even in his bad behavior apparently in the beginning, that's what Jesus seems to be looking for. Not decorum and quiet. Nothing resonates faith like being willing to appear foolish in front of others. I remember once there was a young man in a locker room where I was in a martial arts class down in Charlotte, and he was telling me that he had a bad relationship with his parents. He had just lost his job. He'd been messing around with drugs. He was just aimless and wandering, a 20-something-year-old guy. And I was the associate at a church at Grace in Charleston. And I said, "Well, have you thought about maybe coming to church, seeking out God's guidance and a fellowship of believers to sustain you?" He had told me all his problems, and I lifted up a possible solution, and he said, "Church? Church? What good is that going to do me?" I remember in that moment feeling a little embarrassed that I had actually witnessed and put myself on the line in a locker room situation and been shot down. And I understand that we are sometimes hesitant to speak up because we've spoken up before and been shot down. The crowd tried to shoot down Bartimaeus. But it says in the Old Testament, the prophet Joel, and also in the New Testament, that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. The bold calling out that Bartimaeus did was an act of faith. The crowd then is sort of like the crowd now. They want their faith sedate and silent and free from unscheduled distractions. Bartimaeus, though grabbing at straws, he grabbed at the air, he filled his lungs, and he shouted out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." The crowd told him to be quiet. In verse 48 it says, they sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he cried out even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." It's hard to imagine what it would be like to be blind and then suddenly see. But it's also hard to imagine the depth of trust and faith that Bartimaeus had. Jesus can heal us and our broken parts and our bitter scars and our fears for the future just as He healed Bartimaeus. It has been said that many of us live, even though we have money, we have position, prestige, and power, that many of us live lives of quiet desperation. And I believe that. Just wondering why I have these things I have. I have no major problems, and yet I am not happy. I am not joyful. I am not at peace. Dare we cry out here or at home and in our prayers to God, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Give me that peace that you promised. I can't see it. I'm spiritually blind. Give me that comfort and trust that you promised. I can't see it. Give me the way to love and forgive that you promised I would be able to do. I can't see it. I am here. I am healthy. but I am blind to many of your promises. I am broken inside. Jesus, have mercy on me. I have almost everything I've ever wanted, but I can't see you acting clearly in my life. I feel alone. I say the words of faith, but I feel alone. Have mercy on me. From the ditch, don't pass me by. Jesus, don't pass me by. I've said before, and I admire the medieval prayer tradition called the Jesus Prayer. It's very similar to what Bartimaeus cried out. The Jesus Prayer is supposed to wrap up the whole gospel, who God is and who we are. It goes, Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And in the medieval time, they would pray it with every step, with every breath, until it became internalized, a reality of the holiness and the mercy of God and the reality of our need for God's mercy and the fact that we are sinners completely dependent upon God. They prayed it over and over again until it became one with who they were and brought, bound them one with God in dependence and trust. Healing like that can happen in many ways, being bound to God. For Bartimaeus, it happened instantly. For the apostles and for some of us, it may happen more slowly. But for brave Bartimaeus, his healing came because he just would not shut up. He would not sit down in shame because others told him to. He knew what he needed. He knew Jesus had it. He cried out for it. He got it, and he followed. I think that true discipleship always moves along these lines. First, we need to own our deficits, our brokenness, our sin, our need. And then we come to faith and trust in Christ. And then when the words become cords and connections and mending in our souls, then we follow Him. Need, crying out, in trust, and then connection and healing. And then we follow. How different is the outcome of Bartimaeus from the rich young ruler? I preached a few weeks ago about the rich young ruler. He was one who smugly wanted to add salvation to his list of possessions, just like he possessed so many things. But when he heard that the price for him was going to be to get rid of all his wealth, he couldn't give up his trust in wealth. And so he sadly walked away. He made a choice. He did not follow. The rich man had everything by the world standards, but he was spiritually bankrupt. Bartimaeus was poor by the world standards and disabled, and he became wealthy spiritually beyond belief because of his trust and his determination. The rich man would not give up his wealth to follow. Bartimaeus threw aside his cloak, maybe his only possession, sprang up to seize the moment when God came near. It says in Isaiah, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. He followed Jesus even though that road was leading directly to Jerusalem and the cross. In worship, we invoke God's presence and we know that God is near. We know where two or more are gathered in his name. There God is in our midst. God is here now. There is nothing to stop us from calling upon him now. We can call upon God in each moment, even now. Martin Luther tells us that faith should close its eyes and should not judge or decide according to what it sees or feels, that we should not judge according to feelings, because our heart can mislead us, or the culture or the fashion of the day may mislead us. And so we should close our eyes to the crowd telling us to be quiet, or close our ears to the crowd if they say, shh, God doesn't have time for the likes of you and your small problems. Yes, God does. We can shut them out and believe, as Bartimaeus believed, that what faith says to our hearts, that we are important to God. Our needs and our brokenness is important to God, and God is willing and able to heal and make us whole. And when we cry out, when we really connect, when our faith becomes more than words, our faith changes us, sometimes quickly and radically, and sometimes slowly, and over a lifetime when you are hard-headed like me. Now, for the benefit of the grammar police, that's hard-headed as am I. I've been called on that a few times. Is that right? I think it is. Grammar police? No? Okay. The blind man was able to see. Perhaps there are things yet for you and me to see. Above and beyond, in spite of what the crowd tells us is real or appropriate. As a model of faith, Bartimaeus is supreme. He listened to no one. He had every reason to doubt, but he did not give in to doubt. He did not give in to despair. He did not give in to hopelessness. He cried out over and over and over, believing. Now, prayer doesn't always work the way we want it to. But on the other side of that, we don't always pray. I asked my confirmation class today what they did to relate to God and what they did to relate to others, to do that, to show how they lived out their faith in that grand theme of loving God and loving neighbor. And they said, well, yes, they prayed. And I said, every day? And they said, no. I said, well, you do read the scripture? And I asked them every day, and they said, no. I said, well, do you relate in a loving way to your neighbors? And they ask every day, and then they answered back, no. So we don't always pray. Prayer doesn't always work, but we don't always pray. Maybe we don't have the peace we want, the love we need, the healing of mind and body and soul we're after because we quit asking. We give up hope. We all remember that Jesus didn't heal everybody in every village he passed through, but it does seem that he healed the loud mouths and the persistent and those who wouldn't take no for an answer. Those who even tore a hole in the roof and lowered themselves and their friend down to where Jesus was. We think, well, that's rude. But they were persistent and insistent. And believed and had trust that God could and would bring healing. Absolutely certain in their faith that God could and would do something. It was faith, the Syrophoenician woman. It was faith of Bartimaeus. Faith of the friends of the man who was lame, who was lowered through the roof. It was faith of the woman who grabbed his garment and wouldn't let go. Faith. That led them to stubborn, persistent, and audacious prayers and cries for help. I think that gives us an example. That we too should cry out believing God is able. Able to make a difference, able to give us strength, able to heal mind, body, and soul. Let us not fail to take comfort and to take direction from Bartimaeus' example. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God and Son of David, have mercy on me. There are parts of me which are broken. Amen. Please stand. blessing of the full knowledge of the love of God the Father, the grace and forgiveness which is yours through Jesus Christ, and the comfort and the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. You have been blessed. Be a blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.